Happy Erev Thanksgiving. We're on Parshas Toldos this week, page 124. So we'll do a quick overview, but I actually wanted this morning, we're gonna like work a little bit this morning. So we're going to be off the next few days, so we'll work a little extra harder today, and then we'll feel good about taking off the next 2 days. But let's just briefly go over the Parsha. Parsha Toldos is really dominated by one story. It's really one story, and that is the story of Yitzchak blessing Yaakov and Esav. And as the introduction to that story, we read in the beginning that Ve'ela Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham Elidas Yitzchak. Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak, and when Yitzchak is 40 years old, Bekachtos Rivka, Bas Biswala Aramimi Padan Aram. We'll come back to this in a little bit, but he takes Rivka as his wife. He's 40. Now the problem is, as you see in the next pasuk, just like Sarah, Vayatar Yitzchak Lashem Nochach Ishto Ki Akarahi. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, the Avos do not live in fantasy world. They don't live in a world in which everything is just handed to them easily, without effort, without work. She can't have a child. This is a big deal because same way Sarah was concerned, if we don't have a child, who are we going to pass on the legacy to? Yitzchak is concerned, if I don't have a child, who am I going to pass on this legacy of the Jewish people? So they dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzhar lo Hashem v'tar Rivka ishto. Very, very interesting pasuk. There is something happening in her. There's some type of agitation, stress that she is feeling, and she goes, and as the Klayakar says, it's okay to have questions, and who does she ask these questions directly to? Hashem. Tomerim kein lama ze anochi. Why me? Now, either this means she's bothered because she feels something that it seems no one else has felt before. The Ramban makes her feel like she's the only one in the world that is experiencing this this stress. Vatelech lidrosh es Hashem, vayomer Hashem lo. Very important. Who does Hashem tell this important prophecy to? Just to her. There are two nations inside of you, right? And until this point, she didn't know that. Because we know that Rashi tells us that when she walked past the Avodah Zarah, what happened? So what's wrong with that? What you just said? How would she know? So really, what was she bothered by? The same kid wanted to get out when he passed the base of Avodah Zarah and when it goes by the shul. Okay? You know, I guess, you know, you work hard, you play hard. But that's what's bothering her. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Rivka that don't worry, you have two nations. Ula'om milom yamotz v'rav ya'avod sa'ir. Okay. Now, we'll just keep this in the back of our minds. We're going to come back to this in a little bit. And then the psukim continue. If you turn the page, these children grow up. And, you know, we've discussed in the past, we won't discuss today. Welcome, Shira. We won't discuss today, but the question is of, you know, how they were raised. They seem to be raised very, very similarly, even though they seem very, very different. The children grow up, the pasuk tells us, Chavzayin v'yigdilu ha-ne'arim, they grow up, v'yesav ish yodei atzai ish adeus, he was a hunter. And Yaakov is the Yosheva Holim. Okay, now the next part of the story is what happens. Yaakov wants to buy the birthright. And the pasuk tells us at the bottom, pasuk chaf tes. Vayazid Yaakov nazir vayavo Esav menasdiv hu ayef. He's what? He comes back home, and what's Esav, what's Yaakov making? Stew. It's very upsetting that this week there's no school on Friday. Because this is the week that you get free lentil soup from the nursery kids. But unfortunately, because school's off, they did not make it. So that is very unfortunate. But it's okay. We'll be all right.
Rabbi, can I just put a hold on a second?
Yeah.
She's sitting very uncomfortably. She doesn't know that she needs
to... Okay. Debbie, wait.
Sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Always tactful, Debbie. You know? So the psukim tell us, now it's very interesting, if you look at the psukim, this big debate between Yaakov and Esav, there's a lot to talk about, which we've done in the past, but I'll just share one idea. Esav is very focused on the here and the now. He wants instant gratification, and he wants, if I can't get it now, then it's not worth it. Yaakov is about process. Hey, Judaism is about process. There is a halacha, for example, called Orla. Orla means that for the first 3 years of a tree, you can't eat it. You can't touch it, you're not allowed to... There's an idea of you're not allowed to just, because you want something, you have to have it right away. Esav says, I want that soup. Give it to me right now. And Yaakov says, I'll give it to you because I understand, right, you know, that there is this process that eventually this is going to benefit me. So Yaakov sells him this, the birthright. Turn to page 128. Just like his father Avram has a famine, so too Yitzchak has a same famine. And we have the story then with Yitzchak traveling. Now Yitzchak, however, is not allowed to leave, Eretz Yisrael. If you turn to page 130, just try to give a quick overview, there's a lot of similarities between what happens in the life of Avraham and what happens in the life of Yitzchak. One of those major similarities is in these different wells. Okay, there are wells that Avraham dug, that the Plishtim stopped them up, and Yitzchak redug these wells. And if you look, the Psukim tell us the names of these wells. The Pasuk tells us, for example, at the bottom of page 130, the book at the bottom of the page 130, the first well, Pasuk Chaf, Vayarivu Roe Gror and Roe Yitzchak, they're fighting, Lemer Lonu Hamayim, Vayikoshima Be'er Esha, Esek, His Asku Imo. They call it Esek because it was like a fight. Number one, well number two, Vayachap Ruber Acheres, they dig another well, and they fight as well, Vayikoshima Sitna, they call it Sinna, which means what? Hate, hatred, sinas chinam. Vayatek misham vayachpar beracheres, and he digs another well. They don't fight. Finally, and call v'yikros shema rechovos. Now, before you turn the page, if you look back at the psukim, there is a fascinating grammar. You might miss it, but if you look at the first two wells, what does it say? Pasuk chaf and pasuk chav aleph. Vayachaperu. What does it say? By the way, it's Vayachaperu because it's a Shvana. That's a different time. Okay? Vayachpor. And the third well, he digs himself, and that's the well that's the most successful. Right? This great wealth. The Vikral Rechovos, they're not fighting with each other. The Ramban says that these three wells represent the three Bati Amigdash. Right? Sitna is Sinas Chinam, fighting, and finally you get Rechovos. But the idea is that when Yitzchak himself got involved, that's when there's success. When we get involved, as good as it is to delegate, when we get involved ourselves, that's when we get the most success. Okay. So let's just, let's turn the page, and we're going to go to page 134. And we're going to look at, we're going to look at this story. We know the story. The story is, what's about to happen? Well, the story that we know is Yitzchak needs to give a bracha, okay? And who's he going to give it to? Esav. Who ends up getting the bracha? Yaakov. Who tells him to get the bracha? His mother Rivka. And then he runs away. So here's what we're going to have to figure out. Here's the question. There's a lot of questions. If you go back to, let's see, to go all the way back to, hold on, in Parshas Vayera, go to page 96. Go to page 96. This is going to be our major focus right now. Back in Parshas Vayera, in Pasuk 12, Pasuk Yud Beis. right, we learned this Rosh Hashanah morning, first day. Vayomer Elokim al Avraham. Al Yera Be'enecha al Hanar. Don't worry about who's the Na'ar in this case. Yishmael, don't worry. About him, Vial Amasech, his mother Hagar, Kol Asher Tamar Elecha Sarah Shema Bikola. Listen to her. Ki v'Yitzchak Yikare Lecha Zara. What does that mean? What was Avram? Why does Avram not want to kick out Yishmael? Either it's because he's very kind and compassionate and sensitive, but what's the other reason he doesn't want to kick out Yishmael? It's his future. I'm going to kick out the future. So Hashem says, don't worry. Because, ki v'Yitzchak Yikar L'chazar. Who is your ultimate legacy? Your youngest son Yitzchak. Which begs the question, as you go to Parshas Toldos, what's the question? Why in the world would Yitzchak want to bless Esav? What, either bless Yaakov, if you're going to bless one child, or bless both children. Okay? So now, let's turn back to let's go back to page 128. Go to 128. And if you look at Pasuk, look at Pasuk, just look at the first two Pasukim. So there's a famine in the land. Milvad Harava Rishon. Asher Yabimei Avraham, just like his father had a famine, he had a famine. Ve'yilach Yitzchak al Avimelech, Melech Pishtim Gerara. Ve'yeroi lov Hashem ve'yomer al terein Mitzrayim ha'shchon ba'aretz asher omar eilecha. Right, the word shchon, it means like to live there, stay in Israel. Gur ba'aretz hazos ve'imcha v'avarachecha, stay in Israel, and what will I do? Who else got this kind of bracha? Avraham. So Parashas Sefer Bereishis is so, every time you read it, it's just, there's more things you realize. Ki lecha ulezaracha tenas karatzos hakel, I'll give you this land. V'hakimosi es ha-shavua ashenishpati l'Avraham avicha. Great. Then he goes on, the Torah says, v'erbeisi es ha-racha, just like Avram is promised, I'll give you lots of children, like the stars. V'nasati l'zaracha es karatzos sakel v'isbarachu v'zaracha kol gayei ha-aretz. This Eikev asher shma Avram ekoli, just like Avram listened, v'yishmor mishmarti mitzvosai chukosai v'sorosai. So the question is, question number one, why does Yitzhak then only intend to bless one of his children? Right? Why would that be? Now, look at the sheets that I share with you. And I didn't give you a lot because we're going to look at a lot of psukim today. But I would introduce a very important concept that is in a lot of places, but it's summarized very nicely by my cousin, so I'll give him why not quote it for him. So he says the following. We use the term bechira to describe God's blessing of Zera v'aretz to the Avot, the privilege of fathering God's special nation. Bechira implies that only one son is chosen. Right? What does Bechira mean? To choose, while others are rejected. As we explained, the process began with God's designation of Avraham, continuing with his choice of Yitzchak over Yishmael. It is not clear when this process of Bechira will end. We use the name Bracha to describe a father's blessing for the personal destiny. Noach, for example, bestows a bracha on each of his three sons. He does not choose one son over the others to become a special nation. Rather, he blesses or curses each one based on the individual potential. The classic example of a bracha is Yaakov's bracha to his children. What happens at the end of Sefer Bereishis? Each one a bracha, not a bechira, because he was not choosing. Now, it happens to be that why does Yosef, who is, as we'll see in a few weeks, why does he think, what does Yosef think? He thinks that I'm not the favorite. Well, he originally thinks I am the favorite. Then he ends up in Egypt, in a prison. And his father never contacts him. And everybody says, ah, Yosef, you should have contacted your father. And really the question is, really? They should have contacted me. They threw me out of the house. They told me, run after your brothers who are angry at me. So I ended up in Egypt. Why did my parents never contact me? Because you put on my face on a milk carton. When I was in ninth grade, my Rosh Shiva, our principal, was never around. We didn't know where he was. He was just always away. So we put his face on a milk carton at breakfast, and we said, have you seen this man? Okay? Whatever. It wasn't very nice. But, it happened, whatever happened. But Yosef, what does Yosef think? Yosef thinks, well, let's look at Jewish history. Yitzchak over Yishmael. Yaakov over Esav. Yosef thinks I'm the odd man out. But then at the end of Sefer Bereishis, Yaakov blesses each of his children because that's bracha. Everybody gets a bracha. You can give out as many brachos as you want. Clearly, Yaakov does not choose one or several of his children to become God's special nation. Rather, he bestows a blessing, a personal destiny upon each son. Now listen to this last line. According to each definition, bracha is bestowed by a father. Bechira is established by God. Now, so let's begin. So now, go to Perach of Zion. Okay, the bottom of 132, the last word on 132. Okay, let's read a few psukim. We're gonna do a lot of psukim, plenty of time. Parsha tells us, Vahi ki Yitzchak ki zaken Yitzchak. Yitzchak is getting older. Vatichiana enav miros. His eyes are dimmed. And as Rashi gives different explanations for why his eyes are dim, the smoke of, from the idols of Esav, different reasons. Vayikra es Esav b'no agadol, vayomer ilav b'ni, vayomer ilav hineni. I'm here. Vayomer hineni azokanta leyodata yomosi. I'm about to die. Vata sanoche lecha telcha v'kashtecha. Go out, v'tzea sodeh, v'tzuda litzai. Go out, bring me back some food. Vasilim atamim kasher ahavti, aviva livochil, bavor, now, Yitzchak goes out. He tells Esav, go out and get me food. Now, What bracha is Yitzhak about to give? Is it a bracha of leadership or a bracha of bracha? Which one is it? Is it like just, I'm going to give you stuff? Or is it, I'm going to pass on... It seems to be that it's going to be leadership. Because if you look later, he ends up giving more brachas later. But it seems like he's going to give leadership. Now, why is he giving this bracha of leadership? Well, who's more of a leader right now? Yitzhak or Esav? Yaakov or Esav? Why would you say that?
Because he's a doer.
He's a doer. He was in the fields. Okay? So if that's what it was, why in the world does Rivka intervene? So the first question you have to figure out is, why is Yitzhak blessing one child? It makes sense she's blessing one child because Yitzhak has to give leadership to one child. And it seems he's the better fit for the leadership. So then the question becomes, why does Rivka stop it? Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. Go back to the beginning of the parsha. Rivka is told in the beginning of the parsha. Ah, there you go. There you go. In the beginning of the parsha, page 124. Why does Rivka get involved? Now, just, I've done it in the past, but just to understand a little bit about this, who she is. Rivka is not Sarah. And, we know that when Rivka and Yitzhak, right, when they get married, all the stuff that Sarah's tent was stopped, the challah and it all came back when Rivka comes into the tent. But in her mind, it seems, she's no Sarah, right? Sarah was Sarah Imenu. I'm a nobody from Padan Aram. And not only that, but when Yitzchak davened to Hashem, what happened? Hashem answered her. Great. So now I really feel inferior. And then not only do I feel inferior, but I have all these issues going on. And then she goes to talk to Hashem. Now I shared in the past that Rabbi Tzvi Kanatomsky suggests a beautiful idea that it's not in spite of her history. And I don't have it in the sheets. It's not in spite of her history and her background. It's because of it. Hashem says, that's why I chose you. That you think your weaknesses are what are really bad. I chose you because of that. Because you're from Padan Aram, because you grew up in such a deceiving kind of home, later down the road, you are going to be able to figure out, you have street smarts. What does it mean to have street smarts?
Be able to do things.
So what's going to happen? Down the road, when Yitzhak's going to give the wrong bracha, Rivka's going to be like, I know it. I see it. Right? Yitzchak, for some reason, doesn't see it. Now, look at the last pasuk on page 124. Pasuk tells us, Vayomer Hashem la. So Hashem says to her, Shnei goyim bivitneich ushnei li'umim mimeayich yiparedu. So, now, is that bracha or bechira? That's choosing. Hashem is only telling Rivka, Vayomer Hashem la, to her, Shnei goyim bivitneich. There's two people inside you. Shnei li'umim, you're going to have two nations. But ultimately, ul'om melom ye'amatz, v'rav ya'avod tzair. So now Rivka is told this prophecy.
So now,
Rivka is told this prophecy years earlier. So, and the pasuk is very clear. Vayomer Hashem lo, only told to her. So now we go through the whole parasha. The kids grow up, they go to school. They're very, very similar. Then they're very, very different. And Esav's doing his thing. And Yaakov's in the Beis Medrash. And Esav's hunting. Okay. And as we move ahead, Yitzchak is now prepared to bestow this bracha upon Esav. So look at page. Now let's go back to page 134. Go to page 134. Now Rivka has a massive dilemma. Okay. She has a massive dilemma. If I was Rivka, I would have messed up 1,000 times over. What's her dilemma? She has one card to play. At some point, she's going to have to step in and do something to shift the Jewish history. Okay? Now, there could have been 1,000 times before this actually happened that Rivka could have done something. But she waits and she waits and she waits. And now that she hears what's happening, the question is, well, hold on a second. Is Yitzchak planning to give Esav stuff? Which is fine. Or is he planning to give Esav leadership? Not fine. She has to figure out what's happening. Maybe, now, Yitzhak might think both children are chosen. both could be leaders. There's no reason that Yitzchak has to feel that one has to be the leader, but in her mind, she knows. Bechira doesn't work like that. Bechira works one over the other. Yitzchak and Yishmael, and I know that Esav and Yaakov. I have to make that decision. Why can't she just tell Yitzchak, hey, listen, years earlier, God showed up when I told you that I was going out to lunch. I really went to talk to Hashem, and Hashem told me that this was going to happen. So why not? Why did she not tell? Okay, number one, it's possible he might not believe her. Why would he not believe her? What would he say? Why would Hashem, if Hashem, right, not necessarily in a bad way, but if Hashem had a prophecy for me, Hashem, I don't have to be so biased. There are women prophets.
I understand.
Yeah, I'm just trying to be very equal for everybody. Everybody's equal. Everybody, in class I get yelled at all the time if I'm not making sure that everybody gets their fair due. But my point is, it's number one, I've gotten prophecies. When I daven to Hashem for a child, Hashem, listen, if this was this major prophecy, Hashem probably would have told me. Why else doesn't she want to say anything? Why else?
Why?
Because Hashem told her. Hashem specifically said, Vayomer Hashem lo. Hashem seems to give her this. And it's possible because if she also told it to, go tell Yitzchak, it's possible that Yitzchak still might give. Look at Avraham. Avraham almost kept Yishmael in the house. He needed that influence and that impact of Sarah to make him change his mind. So, look at the pasuk says. Pasuk hey. So now she hears what's happening. She feels responsible, right? She feels responsible for this, for Jewish history. She hears what had happened, which shows you that it wasn't like, oh, she passed. It happened to be that in the kitchen she overheard. What does it mean, shoma'as? She was listening, very, very good. I mean, she understood, but there was always this relationship was always waiting. She's always waiting. When am I using this piece of information? When am I going to put it into action? Which just as a side is an amazing idea that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu sends people messages and asks them to be messengers, and sometimes we feel that we want to delegate that to somebody else, or we feel, this is definitely not for me. Like, who am I to really, Jewish history is going to be changed by the great leaders and the gedolim, and who am I? And if that's how we thought, we wouldn't be where we are today. Right? The Rabbi Soloveitchik would often talk about the shlichus of somebody. Right? When the Lubavitchers have a shliach, there's a Chabad shliach. So what does it mean he's a shliach? What's a shliach? Why is he a messenger? Because he had a mission. Because the Rebbe said, that we have a job to light the way the Rebbe described it in his first Farbringen in 1951 was, the story goes with the Rebbe's first Farbringen. You know what a Farbringen is? Farbringen is in Chabad. It's another place also. But a Farbringen is a mix of, like, it's not just a Dvar Torah. It's mystical. It's got a lot of pieces to it. So there's a lot of politics behind the Rebbe becoming the Rebbe, which we'll do a different day. But when the Rebbe becomes the seventh Lubavitcher Rebbe, he's at his first Farbringen, 1951, January 1951. And he's giving a Dvar Torah. And then an elder chassid, an alter chassid, they say, says, "Nu," he claps on the table and says, "Nu, Rebbe, give us a Farbringen." So then the Rebbe began to give a real, the Rebbe was a genius, an absolute genius. But he says, one of the things he talked about was that in the old days, they would light the candle, they would light the street lamps, right? But they would hold the kid. He says, what happens if you can't reach it? So you have to stick it really high. So that's our goal. Our goal is to light the lamp of every single Jew. That's what it means to be a shliach. So Rivka is given information. She thinks, I am a nobody. I'm not Sarah. Sarah was also barren and couldn't have a child. Yeah, but she was Sarah Imenu. I am Rivka from Padan Aram. And she's given this piece of information. It was very easy for Rivka to say, come on. You really want to change the world, let Yitzchak do it, tell it to Yitzchak. But she understood, she took that information, and she waited. And she acted upon it, and she changed, she is Jewish history. We sometimes like to feel that somebody else will, so the Rav will talk about shlichus. The Gemara says that every single person, right, every single baby has this conversation with the Malach, besides the learning of Torah that happens. And the Gemara Nida says that, you take an oath, you take a shvua, that you're gonna, you have a mission in this world, essentially. And every single person that's in this world has a mission to impact the world. That mission could be something huge, could be a massive impact. It could be 100 missions a day. But everybody's where they're supposed to be at the right time. And how we look at how those things come to us, that's really the, you know, it's a theme of Yom HaNarayim, but it's a theme in general of Shlichus, of viewing yourself as if you have a role and not saying someone else is going to take care of it for me. But anyway, it's true in Chesed. It's very true in Chesed. You know, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will visit. There's so many organizations, you know, and there are. Chicago is blessed with tremendous organizations, you know. And sometimes you don't realize how much there is in the community until you, you know, have to go through something. But it doesn't take place of my involvement and my, you know, in my role. Okay. You know, I just spoke at Shal Shas last week, 2 weeks ago. You know, could you do Bikur Cholim over the phone? Do you get the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim by texting and calling someone? So Ramosha writes in a tshuva that it's good, but it doesn't get the full fulfillment of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Why not? Because one of the goals of Bikur Cholim is to help, right? It's to see what can I do. And sometimes that you can only do when you're there. When you're there and you're... That's not saying you shouldn't call, text, check in. It's still part of the mitzvah of Haftal Recha Kamocha. But there are certain things that we can't delegate to somebody else. Anyway, so Rivka hears, Rivka shoma'as bedaber Yitzchak. And all of a sudden... this clicks. I'm responsible for that prophecy told so many years ago that I have to now put into action. So then she tells Rivka Amra, now she can't now go ahead into the room and tell Yitzchak, hey, about this prophecy, because if Yitzchak doesn't believe her, now we're stuck. So why does Rivka have to use this ruse? It's a ruse. It's trickery. Because she knows I have this prophecy, I have to make sure that Yaakov is chosen, but I also can't tell Yitzchak. But Rivka Amra El Yaakov Benot Leimar Pasuk Vav Yine Shamati Asavicha Medaber El Esav Achicha Leimar. So she tells Yaakov, listen, Havili Tzair Asili Matam El Chela Vavrecha Lefnei Hashem Lefnei Mosi Vatavi Benishma Bekoli Lashir Ani Mitzavet. Listen to me. Lech Noel Atzom Vekachli Misham. Go out and get Shnei Godei Zim Tovim Vese Osam Matam El Avicha Gashir Ahev. You're gonna go get the stuff. Go a little faster. She goes to get the stuff. Vayomer Yaakov el Rivka Imo. Ah, Yaakov says, but isn't Esav Achi Ish Sa'ir? Ah, he's hairy. Vanochi Ish Cholak, and I am not, I'm smooth. Ulai Musheni Aviva Isi Beinav Kemisateya, and he'll know what's happening. Vayveso Alai Klala Velobrach. Vatomelo Imo, Alai Kilascha Beni, Ach Shema Beklik, we'll take care of it. They go through the whole thing, and they give him this bracha. Now, if you continue on a little bit, and you see what happens, so we know what happens. So Yaakov comes in, Yaakov is, you know, Yitzchak says, hey, what's happening? Does he seem to know what's happening at this point? It's unclear. It's unclear if he knows what's happening. Right? But he gives this next, the true blessing to Yaakov. And if you turn the page, go to, skip to two pages. After he gives the bracha, Yaakov gets the bracha and he leaves. Esau comes back in, and Esau says, nu tati. Right? Give me a bracha. And the Pasuk tells us, Pasuk Lam and Ches. Vayomer Esav al Aviv, HaBracha Achas Hi Lecha Avi. I have, Esav says, you know, give me a bracha. Haven't you want bracha, Tati, to give me? Brachini Gamani Aviv, Vayisa Esav Kolo Vayiv. And he began to cry. Vayan Yitzhak, Vayomer Elav, Hine Mishmanea Aretz, Yem Moshe Vecha, Mitalash Mane Me'al. What kind of bracha is that? Is that choosing or is that prosperity? It's prosperity. It's stuff. It's sustenance. It's bracha. It's parnasa. Give all of these things, and he gets the bracha, and he goes on his way. Now the pasuk does say in pasuk mem, "Valchar b'chasichya v'yasachicha ta'avod." By your sword you should live, but your brother you shall serve. Whose prophecy was that? That was told to Rivka. And the pasuk does say, "Vayakasher tarid." But if he messes up, you know, you'll take over. Now, does Yitzchak realize what happens or doesn't happen? So if you turn the page to almost the end of the parasha. Hold on. Hold on. All right, I'm sorry. Yeah, go back, I'm sorry, to page 138. Now look at this pasuk. Does he realize his mistake or not? It's logical. It may not be necessarily proven in the Pesukim. It's logical to assume that after all of this happens, Rivka and Yitzhak have a conversation. Meaning Rivka has to explain why she did this. Okay? They're still living together. They still have... Okay, but look at the Pasuk says. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. When Esav comes back in, and Yaakov, Yitzhak says, "Hey, who are you?" And he says, "It's me, Esav." Vayecherad Yitzchak charada gedola ad meod. That is not, the Torah does not describe things like that in generally. So what do you have? What's vayecherad?
Tremble.
What's charada?
Regret.
Also trembling. Same shoresh. What's vayecherad charada mean? What does it mean? Really trembling. Like, and then what does it add? Gedola. Okay, so like really trembling. It's not just, right? Ad me'od. Okay, it's not just telling you more descriptions. Okay, it's real. Now, why is there this tremendous amount of trembling on behalf of Yitzhak? What's he trembling about? So he's either trembling because he gave the wrong bracha, but that would be just vayecherad or vayecherad charada.
Or he's angry at himself that he didn't know better.
For when? He's angry at himself?
That he didn't know all along.
Excellent. Lisa Glass. Okay? He didn't realize all along. Vayecherad charada al-me'od is the whole time. How could I have missed this? How could I have raised Esav and understood that this guy who was tricking me, right? He was pretending to be so machben and halacha and kibud of aim that I was wrong all along. And that's ve'acharad charada gedola ad ma'od. And that's why he realizes that he made this mistake. So do me a favor. Now, go to the end of the parsha. Go to page 142. I usually we're not this textual, but it's such a rich parsha of psukim. If you go... I mean, we are usually textual, but if you go to page 142, okay, now, you're going to hold this page 142, and you're going to also go to page 56. We're just going to compare Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Dalin and Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Zayin. So look at Yud Beis, let's go to 56 first. When Hashem appears to Avraham, the beginning of Lechecha, right in the beginning, Pasuk tells us, Pasuk Zayin, Vayera Hashem el Avraham, way in the beginning, Vayomer lezaracha attain as haratz hazos, I'll give you this land, Vayiven shem mizbeach l'Hashem hanirei lev, and Avraham builds a mizbeach. Now, go to the end, all the at the end of Parshas Toldos, after this whole story happens, after this whole idea, after... Look at the Pesukim, tell us Pasuk Dalet. Vayitain lecha es birkas Avraham lecha ulezara itach. I am giving not just bracha, I'm giving you the birkas Avraham lezara itach liwishtecha es eretz migurecha ashenosan elokim la'Avraham. Almost a continuation, it's the Pesukim are very similar. This is Bechira now. This is choosing. This is Hashem saying, this is now where we're going. So it starts with Hashem to Avram, and then Avram to Yitzchak, and now Yitzchak to Yaakov. The question is, at the end of the day, and if you look, that's the parasha ends, Yitzchak going on his way, Esav, it seems, if you know, look at the last pasuk in the parasha, it's good to know, Esav marries somebody named Machlas, right? Which it seemed to be that some type of mechila that Esav does, right? Some type of forgiveness that he's given. But in the end of the day, this parasha still leaves us, it bothers us sometimes. Why does it bother us? Because it doesn't seem like the way of the Avos and the Imos is to do this. The trickery and the this, it's not, it doesn't seem as honest as we make them out to be. The Avos are very, very pure, very holy and tzaddikim, and why are they acting like this? So the simple answer is, Rivka has to do what has to be done. Rivka has a prophecy. She is told it's Yaakov. And just like we saw last week, that Sarah's impact on Avram changes Avram for the better. Yitzhak's relationship with Rivka changes Yitzhak for the better. She saves the day. And that sometimes, as unfortunate as it may seem, we have to act in certain ways, right? certain things are not so Jewish, so to speak, right? When you look, for example, when you look at some of the discussions about the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, right? So should we fight or should we not fight? So there, all the including Rabbi Nachum Zema, the great Gadol in the Warsaw Ghetto, said, absolutely, you have to arm yourself. We're going to kill. We're not. This is what we have to do. Sometimes we act in ways that might not seem as great, but has been done. But ultimately, it's still a kol Yaakov. We're not dominated by Yadayim Yidei Esav. We live our lives by a kol Yaakov. So let me just share how as we end with these sheets, if you look back to the first page. Right, despite our technical explanation for Yitzhak's and Rivka's behavior in this parsha, a more fundamental question remains. Why must the Bechira process be so complex? In other words, why is it that at every inception of our national history, trickery must be employed for us to arrive to our divine destiny? Although it's a difficult question, answer one could suggest that this entire episode may carry an important message concerning spiritual goals of our nation relate to the necessities of entering the physical world in prosperity and political leadership. But indeed, to become a nation, there are times when aggressive qualities of an Esav type of individual are needed. Take for example the state of Israel. Okay, so there was always this debate, and there is till this day, since the establishment of the state of Israel, how normal should Israel be versus how Israeli should Israel be. And for a lot of history, people felt Israel should just be like everybody else, right? Just be like a regular nation, do what everybody else does, and don't rock the boat too much. And so there's a balance. And part of that, we do, we hold to that standard and we are like everybody else. On the other hand, we're not going to be like everybody else, right? There are times that we're going to be different because that's what it means to be a Jewish people. And there are times that we're going to be more aggressive. But there are times that having a state of Israel means that there are certain halachos that are just, put aside because we have a state and we have a country, we have a democracy, and we have an army. So sometimes we have to be aggressive, we have to be these, different types of individuals. However, there's a popular notion, as he continues, that these physical responsibilities should be delegated to the Ish Sadeh, the son who's the expert in the physical realm, but only in that realm, the Chiloni son. Similarly, the spiritual realm should be delegated to the Yaakov type, the delicate Ish Tam who knows only how to study in the tent of Torah. We will leave all your own discussions about those terms for a different time. Yitzhak's original intention to bless Esav may reflect this notion, as Esav will be the provider, he's the army, he's the political realm. Yaakov will be the Torah realm. Separating these responsibilities between two sons may reflect the notions that spirituality cannot be found in the physical world of establishing a nation. Right, to negate this notion, despite its simplicity and logic, the Torah presents Yitzhak's original plan. However, the other option, possibly Rivka's plan, was that the Yaakov Ishtam can manage both realms equally and both remain equally unacceptable. And meaning, we have to fuse them together. Right? It's well known that when the state of Israel was established, there already was built into the government in 1948 this idea of people learning all day. This is not a discussion about drafting and the IDF. We did a shiur on that a few years ago on Shavuos. But it is clear from the moment that Israel was established, Ben-Gurion felt this was important. Why? Because if you just had an army, and nobody was, so that there's two notions here. One is that you need both together. That you same time you need the political realm, you need the Torah realm at the same time. They feed off each other. Now, why that doesn't work as it should is a separate discussion, and why we can't get along better is its own discussion. But in its ideal form, you need Torah learning. But more than that, every individual has to be able to, synergize these two ideas together. That I can be in the physical world and at the same time be someone who is elevated above what else is happening. And that's Yaakov. Here's this Ishtam. He's learning all day and he's Yosheva Holim. He's really holy and very, very kadosh. And then Rivka says, get in the game. Put on the wool and get involved. And he does, because that's what we have to do. But the whole time he does it, it's still a kol Yaakov. Because if you're too involved in that world, and you're too involved in the political world and the secular world, and because I'm advancing the Jewish people, but without the spirituality, then it also doesn't work. Then it's not a kol Yaakov. That's just Yadayim de Esav. Meaning Yadayim de Esav here isn't a bad thing. It's just two sides of the same coin. I need both of them. And Yaakov does both. he maintains his Yosheva Halim while wearing the hair and the, you know, and the Asa personality to get what has to get done, but it doesn't impact him. He's able to stay above it all. And that's ultimately what happens. And that's how he ends in the last paragraph. That even though many situations in our history will arise, we must don the hands of Esav. We must act as an Ish Sadeh. Our dominant trait must always remain that of an Ish Tam. For when God provides Am Yisrael with prosperity and political leadership, it is towards the purpose that they serve mankind with personal example and spiritual guidance. Throughout our history, even though we must periodically don the hands of Esav, our voice must always remain the voice of Yaakov. And that's how you understand this parsha. This whole plan of Rivka is because she had a mission from God that she held close to her heart. When am I going to take advantage of it? When am I going to act on it? I might think I'm a nobody, but God does not think I'm a nobody. And therefore, what am I going to do with that? And that already impacts future Jewish leaders. Then, even though it looks like trickery, it has to be. Because she was given a prophecy. She knew she had to hold on to it. She knew she had to act. She knew Yitzhak might not listen. So she does it. Why not make it so easy? Because life's not easy. And Jewish history isn't easy. And nothing's handed to us on a silver platter. So there are times when it's going to look like this isn't the greatest option. And the answer is, yeah, it's going to happen. So long as it throughout our lives we remain a Kol Kol Yaakov. We remind ourselves that we're the ultimate goal is spiritual guidance. The ultimate goal is connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to do things that are just Yadayim De'Esav doesn't work. And I can't just believe that just my Yadayim De'Esav is what's getting me close to God. It has to be that I do it when I need to, but ultimately it's the Kol Kol Yaakov, even if I have to be a Yadayim De'Esav.
Okay.
Have a good Shabbos.